Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Welcome to Real Talk with Rachel Autry, where I share just my life with you and invite you to join me to delight in life by finding joy right where you are. Today, we're talking with the one and the only Sissy Goff about all things, I'm just going to say parenthood, because who knows where this conversation is going to go. you'll walk away with things that you can apply for sure right now. Moments that will make you go, oh yeah, me too. All from a girl who's just trying to figure out life right alongside you with my friend Sissy, because that's what friends are for, right? So we're going to cut some fluff and just have some real talk, bring some freedom to some friends, probably parents or wanting to be parents in this conversation, because yikes, it is a whole ball game. And I'm excited. I'm just grateful for resources like yours that bring help to us when we just feel so helpless. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to get to have a conversation with you.
I know. This is so fun. I was telling you before we recorded, I am like so excited for y'all, but so sad for me that the Birmingham podcast store was sold out and I missed it. But I have so many friends that went and they were like, wow, this is amazing. Yes, I will share my notes with you. I'm like, thanks.
Aww. Well, we had a lot of fun, but it would have been more fun if you were there.
Hey, thanks. Yes. Yeah. So for someone that doesn't know, I'm just going to spill them in, like fill them in all the things. Then you can fill them in with all the things that you are and you'd want them to know. But for my friends listening, this is Sissy. Sissy works at Daystar Counseling. She is in Nashville, Tennessee. She does all the things with David Thomas, which my friends probably have heard me talk about because I read Raising Emotionally Strong Boys, because I have two boys, and it rocked. It broke me. It rocked my world. I loved it.
It's a great book.
Great book. But you also have written Raising Worry-Free Girls, which is like the girl version. I recommend it to all my girlfriends. And then you now have a new book called The Worry-Free Parent, which is exactly what we all need.
Yes, I hope. I hope it's really helpful. But I would say parents are anxious more than I've ever seen them before in 30 years of counseling. So an answer to a felt need in my counseling office.
Yeah. And you have a pup. But you do like
And I have a pup that counsels with me every day. She's 14, can't hear anymore, no teeth. I'm not sure if she can see very well, but still helping girls.
Yes.
And I have two little nephews.
Is she with you now?
I don't know if you see. Oh, yeah. Lucy's right beside me. She's snoozing. Hey, she's snoozing most of the time. Can we get her?
Okay, got it. Yeah. Why not? For our friends watching. This is just so fun.
Yeah. This is Lucy.
Hey, Lucy.
She waves, but she's too old to wave right now. Too tired. But
that's where she's friendly. Right.
I know. She has counseled girls with me for 14 years, her whole life. So,
so special.
She's a great little dog. Yep.
Yeah. And then two nephews, you said.
Two nephews. See my necklace? They call me Diddy.
That is so precious.
I love it. Pretty fun. Yes.
That is fun. That's a fun life.
Yeah. But my day job is counseling kids and families and then podcasting and writing and all the things. Trying to help as many people as possible.
Yes, for all of our friends listening that love podcasts, Raising Boys and Girls is Sissy and David's podcast, and it has brought me so much help, tools, practicals, things that I know that y'all are obsessed with. So head over there, queue it up for your next listen on this car ride that you're probably on right now. I also need you to know, I have this joke in my household. It's actually, maybe it's not a joke. It's for serious. That I'm like, okay, we're going to be saving up for counseling for our boys, because I will say something, do something, not say something, not do something. And they're going to be like, I need to sit on a professional's couch because of what my mom and dad did. I just know it because I'm there too. And I had amazing parents, but I'm still having to work through stuff.
Yes.
And so we joke and we're like, okay, so if we ever like need our boys to be in counseling seriously, like we will be moving to Nashville and then definitely going to Daystar. Like that's how this is going to work. So we just are big fans of all the things that you're doing.
And
so opportunity to have you on the show. I was like, yes, 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 yes.
Well, thank you so much.
You said something though, that I think is so interesting about how you've been doing this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And now more than ever, you have seen like this definite anxiety in girls, but then also in parents. And yes, it's fascinating to me because here I am in my early years of parenthood and I also feel it, right? Like I'm feeling this anxiety, like in fact was diagnosed with postpartum anxiety, working through this, that I'm thinking through, is the anxiety a new to me thing because I'm now aware of it and I'm here in parenthood, or is it a new actual like pandemic, like it's kind of made out to be? And from what I'm hearing from you, it is truly like has taken a new depth to things.
Yes. Yeah, I would say, honestly, Rachel, it's both. I mean, We are now at 1 in 3 kids are dealing with anxiety. Girls are twice as likely as boys, but boys are taken in to get help more, which is fascinating. And we can come back to that.
So,
but
yeah,
1 in 3 adults and women are twice as likely as men. And so it is rampant in our world, in America especially. And so, yes, I would say it has become a huge part of our culture, sadly. And there's this fascinating thing that happens with anxiety that basically I could stand up. I mean, if I had a group of kids with me right now, I could predict at each age what they'd be most anxious about. And basically, you know, we all have hundreds of what are considered intrusive thoughts every day. They come in, if we're not anxious, they come in and go back out. You know, worst case scenario thoughts, I did horribly on that thought, you know, whatever the negative thoughts are. So for little bitty ones, those intrusive thoughts are often, and where they get stuck is often something bad happening to my mom or dad. They get a little bit older, elementary school, and they go to a birthday party and someone throws up and now they can't stop thinking every time their tummy gets funny, I'm going to throw up, I'm going to throw up, I'm going to throw up. They get a little bit older and it's, I'm not going to have any friends or I'm going to fail this quiz. They get a little bit older. I mean, it basically shifts and it's it's where they're, I talk about it with kids, like the one loop roller coaster at the fair, because their thoughts get stuck that way. And where their thoughts loop is basically the thing that matters the most to them developmentally. Which is why so many parents say to me, I never had any anxiety until I became a parent. Because the thing that matters the most to you right now matters more than anything ever has in your whole life. And so, of course, you have anxiety as a parent. So I really do think it's, I mean, sadly, it's coming at you from both angles.
Yeah.
Which makes it even
you
harder.
You get me.
Yeah.
And a lot of the friends listening today, we're all in the trenches. It's super cool to see the community that we've built over here grow up, like, with me, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So a few years ago, we were all getting married, or like we're all dating in the dating scene. We have friends still in the dating scene or getting married. But I feel like a lot of us too now have become parents and we share that. I feel like a lot of us are in the trenches with littles. And thankfully, I feel like this is something that's been brought up to where we can be proactive than reactive and have some good habits and conversations and rhythms in our home to establish a culture where we can go ahead and confront it before the issue is like slapping us in the face. Which is so cool that the hunger is there. And that's, that's something too, that I think can help this whole situation, just being aware of it. Cause I think the enemy would want to just distract us until it's in front of us and it's too big in our minds to even do something about.
So for our friends that maybe have the littles, let me rephrase this. For me, okay, like, could you give me and my friends listening some tools and things maybe we can do or stop doing right now, whether we have boys or girls in our house, to figure out how can I like really steward my time in these years well to maybe set us up for success when the anxieties are a little bit trickier. I don't know if that's a thing, but like as developmentally they grow up, it's harder to console them about the larger anxieties than it is like the instilling like mommy is never going to leave you. Like I will, you know, like I love you. You're safe. You know, those things I feel like are easier to communicate than some of the bigger things later on.
Yes. Okay. I would say a couple things. I mean, from an in the moment standpoint, I wish everybody on the planet, I can't say had an Apple Watch, but had some kind of device that helps them regulate their breathing regularly, or they know a way that they do it that they like. I mean, there's the Apple Watch will do it for you. There are a million apps that'll do it for you. Square breathing is what we teach kids in our office, where you breathe in with one line of the square, out with the next, in with the next, out with the next. Yeah. But also there are in the Worry Free Parent book, I have a whole list of breath prayers that are just scripture that basically, I say three words and breathe in and out, three words and breathe out. If that made sense.
Yeah.
So I think because what happens is when we're anxious, the amygdala is the part of our brain that takes over. That's the fight or flight part of our brain. And parents will say to me all the time, and I think this is often, well, it's parents of all age kids. They'll say, my child started acting like a crazy person because they were anxious and I jumped right on board. Well, right. Because none of us in those moments are operating out of the part of our brain that dictates ration and reason. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to calm our bodies down before we get to any kind of helpful conversation. And the more often the amygdala is activated, it actually enlarges and develops what's considered a hair trigger response. And so the way that we calm that down, shrink it back to size, is not just deep breathing in the moment when we can tell we're getting anxious, but deep breathing, to use your word, proactively, that we need to be doing that. So that's one super practical thing. Another is, I am seeing more parents than ever before who are, well, I think it's beyond helicopter parenting. In the book, I talk about five different types of parents that I'm seeing. Helicopter parenting, which we know what that is. Sidecar parenting, like, I was anxious when I was growing up and, oh no, they hung behind my leg once and didn't want to talk to somebody. They must have anxiety too. You know, kind of my experience is their experience. Snowplow parenting, where we're clearing out the path ahead of them where they don't hit bumps, which bumps are what teach them to handle bumps. Mm. Backhoe, I'm cleaning up their messes after them. Mm. And then parade float, where I'm trying to keep everything fun and them be distracted by how fun things are. And then maybe they won't feel sad or feel anxious. And
interesting.
And the truth is, like we just talked about, kids learn to do hard things by experiencing hard things. Mm. And I read in the research, stress is what inoculates children against stress. And so as a young parent, I think it is so easy to feel anxious in any of those moments. And so I would say, as much as you can, hang back, do your breathing, let them take healthy, age-appropriate risks from early on. I think that's really important. And then the last thing I think I would say is, I really want parents to be careful of amassing experts that on social media, that you are following 20 different people who are parenting experts, because we are all going to have different opinions and you're going to feel a lot of pressure and really overwhelmed. And there's that whole movement right now that honestly, it's making me crazy about, you know, you have 52 Saturdays a year and you have however many Saturdays across summers. Their whole life. And come on. That's just adding to the pressure that parents feel already. So whoever's telling you that, unfollow them and be careful.
Get bossy. I love it. Yes.
Seriously. And be careful who you're following, that it's not making you feel more pressure, because we need to stop following those people.
Yes. Yes. I love that you brought this up, because I think a lot of the anxiety for me, I'll be real, is in the moments that I have an opportunity to co-parent with Christ. Instead, I consult Google.
Yes.
And I, like, in those moments where I'm like, okay, you know, Oliver, my 9-month-old, is only liking fruits. He doesn't like vegetables. He doesn't like protein. Like, what do? You know, like, I'm Googling something. Or he's not crawling. He just likes to scoot on his butt, like, Googling something. And instead, like, taking that to the Lord and offering him the opportunity that I know that he can and he wants to regulate and to calm me down or whatever, is something that I'm, like, getting convicted of recently. And I think a lot of the anxiety comes from those, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, if you can't see me, like, professionals or, like, experts. Yes. And they all have something different to say.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, at the end of the day, I'm still confused. I might as well have consulted, like, my Heavenly Father, who knows how to be the best dad, who can help me, give me insight, because he created these kids for me and me for these kids. Like, we can do this.
And Rachel, your superpower.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Google didn't exist when my mama was a mom. And, like, I turned out okay, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes. And your superpower as a parent, I would say as a woman, and especially as a parent, is your intuition. And so if you're leaning on Google and all these experts, that's not even growing in you. You're not learning how to hear it more. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think as a therapist, I trust my intuition more than anything. And I pray often that my intuition is in line with the Holy Spirit, that that's where I hear him. And so as a parent, I love that you said that. Trust yourself and trust God more than Google.
Yeah. So there's two things. Unfollow the people and maybe delete Google from your bookmarks or your homepage. Okay. Love y'all. Anywho, I think though that this is so good. And you say something in your book, and I've heard you say it often online, even on your podcast, which is that anxiety is contagious. And a lot, like, I'm not blaming maybe the potential of anxiety being in your home, like, specifically on you, but I am saying that we have control over the culture of our house. And if we are carrying anxiety, anxiety will be felt. And so, and something I learned from David's book and something that you talked about in yours is this idea of, like, we can only emotionally healthily lead our children, like, where we are. And if we're not in the right space, we can't expect them to be in the right space. And so I would love for you to maybe even, like, keep bossing us around. I love it. Like, keep telling us, like, what are things that we can do to regulate us? Like, you were talking about the breathing, to maybe help us deal with the anxiety that's inside us before we go and try to, like, fix, for lack of better terms, our kids and their issues that they're experiencing.
Oh, I love that you're asking those questions and you're thinking through that. And I definitely would agree with that. I had a dad who I met with, this mom and dad, and they are so neat, and they don't have, they both grew up in really hard home situations. And so we meet every, I don't know, 4 months probably. And I think I just am another grown up that they can talk about, like, is this normal? So what do we need to be doing here? And and they're so intentional. And he is the one who said to me, I'm the CEO of my company. And I was at a training recently, and they said a CEO's job is to be the calmest person in the room. And he said, whoa. I think maybe that's what a parent's job is to do too.
Because we are the CEO of our company.
Right. Yes.
House, your, you know, we got a business.
Yes, all
going
your little
on
employees. Yes, exactly. And so, I mean, I think doing our own work is the best gift we can give the kids we love, hands down. And so, to do that, I mean, a couple of things, a couple of big picture ideas I would say. I mean, one is definitely the breathing. Another is, I think, for us to be aware of when anxiety is impacting us, because the sooner we can catch it, the better off we're going to be, in terms of it's not going to turn into this full blown, really emotional, often angry. I think anxiety makes us angry. It's not going to shift us in that direction. And so, I mean, one thing is, I want all of us to know how worry and anxiety impact our bodies first. Like, do your shoulders hunch up around your ears? Yeah. Where do you feel it? Do you get tense? I will say about myself, I hope I can cuss on your podcast, but
girl,
I'm an Enneagram one. And I jokingly say, I get really twitchy and bitchy.
Yes.
I move too fast and I get kind of jerky. I don't know. I mean, you can feel the energy from me, I think, when you're around me.
Yes.
And so I think knowing where it impacts your body and knowing how it impacts your thoughts, because we all have certain themes that show up first. And the hard thing about anxiety with parents is it often feels like good parenting. And Vigilance is required as a parent, but hypervigilance is not helpful.
Wait, can you say that again? Like the whole, we think that we're doing this well when we feel. Yeah, say that again.
Yes. Well, I think we feel like we're problem solving. We feel like we're moving kids in a good direction when we are thinking and overthinking and overthinking and ruminating is what it's called, where we're just circling the drain on that idea. Wow. And instead to be aware of, okay, when has this crossed over into hypervigilance? And I'm asking parents three questions to help distinguish the thoughts, to know if it's an anxious thought or a problem-solving thought. One is it circular, like we talked about, the one-loop roller coaster, or linear? Are you stuck in this loop, or are you moving towards something?
So good.
Number two, is your emotion as a result of whatever's going on, or even just your thought, anxious thought, is it bigger than the situation warrants? Because that often is going to mean it's anxiety. And number three, does it cause you to be possessive where all of a sudden you're stepping in and trying to rescue them, pull them out of the situation, or progressive where you're letting them have independence that's appropriate for their age, letting them develop resilience, letting them go.
Hmm.
So wow, those are my three big questions I want parents to ask.
So good. Oh,
you're so kind.
I feel like that's a good stabilizer. It's a good barometer for like, okay, where is my emotions taking me? Yeah, hurt or health, right? Because we are built for, okay, funny story time. Ready? I got put on medicine after I had Oliver, my 9-month-old. Just wasn't feeling myself. That's a whole other podcast episode. Go back, listen to it. Anyways, I called my doctor because I was like, I'm really stressed. I think I need up my dosage. He was like, pause. Okay, listen, like stress, anxiety, scanning for danger, like is kind of a natural part of being a human. It's what keeps you alive. Okay, I don't want to numb you. That's not our point. He's like, I need you to experience this stress. But I also want you to be able to understand that stress is not needed in every situation. So like, where are you on that scale? And I'm like, okay, I think life's just hard. I think I'm okay. He's like, okay, I think your dosage is perfect. I'm like, okay, great. You know, moving on. But it's funny because
glad he said that.
Yes. Great doctor. Love him. Mm-hmm. But like, I think we also get caught in this catapult of like, especially in the church world, is like, I'm anxious. Oh no. And I think that there is a healthy level of experiencing fear and knowing the discernment, like something's off here. Like I need to press in and ask the Lord, why am I feeling this way? But yes. I also feel like there is the other side of the spectrum, which is you feel anxious about everything. And that's what causes you to make these moves. So those three things are so good for figuring out, is what I'm feeling healthy? Like, because it might be helpful, but it also can be hurtful too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Helpful or hurtful. That's a good question too.
Yes. You know what's so funny is every time I record something, I walk away. And sometimes I'm like, I think I need to re-listen to that because I think the Holy Spirit says things through me, for me, that I'm like, oh, I've never thought about that one before. I think that was one of those. So if you see me pausing, I feel very shook right now. That was for me. Okay, great.
You're so funny.
I think something too that this whole emphasis on anxiety comes from is just this want to connect with our kids. It can come from a beautiful motivation. It just might not manifest well. Just like, I really want to like be with them, know them, be a part of their day, hear about their day, you know, like make memories with them to the point where it can almost, you go overdrive, like you're saying, extra vigilant. You see that too. You feel like that's a big motivation.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that because, well, it's interesting. I noticed, now I've written 4 books, I think, about anxiety. And when I was starting the research, you know, it makes you pay more attention to different things. And I started noticing that every child that I met with who had anxiety was really bright. They were really conscientious. They cared so much. They were trying so hard. Mm-hmm. They were the coolest kinds of kids. And then once I started thinking about it through the lens of parents, the same is true. Mm-hmm. If you have anxiety, you're not a bad parent. In fact, you're in the better percentage because you're working so hard and you're trying so hard and it matters so much to you. And in fact, I mean, I've gotten to where I want parents to hear me say, if you're getting angry, which I'm hearing more parents, more moms maybe in particular, talk about struggling with anger than I ever have.
And rage.
And I think,
yes, it's real.
And if you're getting angry, it's for the same reason. It's that you want really good things for your kids and you feel out of control in the moment. I mean, think about even the proverbial getting out of the door on the way to school and you find yourself screaming because your kids are running late.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you know they already had three tardies. Your son already had three tardies. The fourth means he has to go to Saturday school. Then he can't go to the birthday party that he wants to go to so much. And so you're yelling because in your head you're wanting good things, but it's just the delivery of it that's off. And so I feel like if we can back up, if you can back up and say, okay, the reason I'm feeling this anxiety register right now, or even the reason that I'm feeling frustrated, is because I want something good for my kids and I'm trying hard. I think that flip of giving yourself grace can profoundly lower the level of both anxiety and anger.
That's so good. Giving yourself the permission.
Yes.
Because I do see that whenever I'm hard on myself, it definitely projects. And I feel like I'm like, in order to keep this moving on the train, y'all got to work with me. And then I'm like, but what if we just need a slower pace today? You know, what if really the best thing is to turn on a quick show, like a Pete the Cat or something, just so that I can have a moment, they can have a moment, and then we recoup, right? But like,
yep.
Keeping up, and I think that this is it too, is it is a detriment for me and my motherhood to see how others mom, not in my real life, hear me, like not with my real life people, my crew, I'm talking online, can be hard because I can see how other people are doing it and they set this new standard where I'm trying to keep up with, and I don't see, that's 14 second reel out of how
right.
many
They're
seconds
not
are
doing
in a day.
It. Right.
That they curated. And I'm guilty. I mean, I'm not going to show y'all my meltdowns and my kids. I'm trying to protect their own, you know, reputation. So you're not going to see my parts of that day either. So don't let me be a standard. And it's like, that is what causes a lot of anxiety for me, is I see that. And that is what I register in my mind as, okay, that's how I need to be mothering. And so when I don't meet that standard, no matter how hard I tried or like how much effort or how many memories we made or how many beautiful moments were curated or like whatever, I still feel like I missed it. And that's not fair. And I think that perpetuates my anxiety of being like, oh, I'm not doing it right or whatever. Instead of, Lisa Turker says this, but you steer where you stare. So if I'm staring at all of the hard and all of the difficulty and like the things, I might miss it. You know, like all the beautiful, funny things that happen throughout the day. So I think that's a big thing for me too, is just letting go. And yes, like you said, the permission, just grace. Like the stereotypical mom. Who is she? Mm-hmm. Who is she? Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. She's not there.
She's not there. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a word. So connecting with your kids, big one. What are some fun ways maybe that we can put in our tool belt to connect with our kids, maybe across like a lot of different ages? Because I think, I mean, like I have a 9-month-old, I have a 2.5-year-old. One day they'll be older, obviously, but like different, maybe milestone-y ways that we can connect with our kids to create these memories so that at the end of the day, we can lay our head on our pillow and be like, whew, mission accomplished. That was tough. I'm glad we survived. You know, which you can feel both. We can feel both.
Yeah.
But like, absolutely. What are some ways that we can create those moments despite circumstance, anxiety, all the things?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest one across the board would be play. I mean, children need play more than they ever have. Just unstructured fun where it's not in sandwiched in between three different things that we're doing. Part of, I think, the anxiety with kids is that we're overscheduled anymore. And so I think when you can play with them, when you can engage with them in that way, and even if it's 10 minutes a day, I don't mean you have to spend an hour a day.
But get on the floor, candy, play with the trucks. Right.
There you go. Get on the floor, play with the trucks, play Candyland, play with the dolls, with littles, whatever that is. And as you said before about the tractors, I mean, I think at every age, we want to be a student of what the kids in our lives love.
That's so
and
good.
So you know, learning the tractors. I mean, I have a 4-year-old nephew and I learned every type of tractor name. I never even knew there was something called a skid steer, but now I know about a skid steer. But now we've moved from tractors to Legos. And so I'm just learning about Lego Technics. And, you know, that is how you engage with them in a way that they feel like, if you love what I love, you must love me.
Oh, yeah.
And so thinking about, you know, that's harder when they become adolescents, because you may end up at a concert that you would never have wanted to go to in your life, or yes, watching a show that, and please don't hear me say, you know, watch really dark, inappropriate television with them. But at the same time, stretch the limits a little of what you feel comfortable watching, and watch mm-hmm. a show with them, because adolescents need time with you that you're not correcting them, you're not teaching them, that you're purely enjoying them. And I think one right. of the best ways sometimes we can do that is find a show where then we can laugh together. Or you can say, tell me what you thought about that. Mm-hmm. And then let them start to connect the dots. So really, it feels like it is going to shift developmentally. But if we're following along what they love, it is going to maintain a connection. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, even through the harder points to connect.
Yes. And I have seen this too in my marriage, where like yes. I've been interested in what my husband's interested in. People know this listening, but we're obsessed with airplanes, all of us. It's just a boy household. Airplanes, they are the thing. And my husband's a pilot, all the things. But you know what? It's so funny is when I've learned the bold face, I've learned the emergency procedures, I help him study all the things. And I'm not tooting my own horn, I'm just saying, like, it has rocked our marriage world, because I now have a new way of communicating with him. So like I can use analogies where I wouldn't have known before. So if I'm like, babe, you're on the runway. Okay. I'm 30,000 feet. Get up here with me. Okay. Or I'm like, we got to break through the clouds, and then we get some fresh vision, you know, or, you know, it's time to set. We got to reset our altimeter. It's different here than it was there. We got to reset. And he's like, I get it. You know, like, poor guy. Mm. And he's like, I get it. And I'm like, yes. Not poor guy. He's great. But I think it's just funny because we talk about airplanes all the time. But similarly, I think this is a really cool entryway to be able to talk to your kids about life when you understand yes. what they're doing, and you can make it on their level and language, rather than this big, like, sit down, let's talk through your hard stuff moment. I think some of the most beautiful ones with my 2.5-year-old have been over magnetiles, you know?
Mm. And yes,
and it's just, it works better. Feels less forced. So like, play is so good for connection, more than the fact that you're scooting around trucks on a floor. It's really, it gives you some language too, I think, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to say it.
Yes. I think this is for anyone listening. Like, yeah, if you got nephews, nieces, sons, daughters, or even like a spouse, and you just need to like learn their language, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, I did ask some friends on Instagram. Excuse me while I pull up my phone. I was so excited about having you on today, Sissy, that I opened up question box on Instagram.
Oh,
just for some like rapid fire. I was like, parents, if you ask a professional for any advice, what would you ask? So we got a few. I'm just going to like scoot through them. What is something parents might miss in the early years? I'm assuming early years is like maybe 3 and under. Like, what's something that they might miss? I'm thinking maybe she's talking like, oh, I miss that. Not like missed, like passed by is how I interpreted it.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't know. What do you think? This is your question.
I would think they meant like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Okay, yeah. Let's go that.
Oh, I missed that. I would say the early year, well, all the years, but the early years, I think we want to know that all behavior is communication. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky before they have words to know what it is they're saying that they need, but that's what they're saying. And and so I think often when I sit with parents of littles, anger feels concerning. Anger feels demanding a lot of times, rather than realizing there's something. They are demeaning because they can't communicate what they need sometimes. And even when they do have words, they still can't say, when you picked me up from preschool and we had to run four errands, I was overstimulated and I felt overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And like, so they started screaming and crying. Right. Exactly. And so I think for us to really pay attention to what's underneath the behavior, what might be underneath the behavior, is really important.
That is a good one. I love that one. Okay. Another quick one is, how do I overcome mom guilt that I have about just everything? That's an intense one. That's a whole other podcast.
That's episode. Well, the quick thing I would say is, you know, I did a continuing education seminar with Dan Allender, who's one of my favorite psychologists. And he said, and I have since learned that attachment theory says this too, that good parents get it right 50% of the time.
Well, wow.
50%. So that can ease a lot of mom guilt right there.
Pressure is off. Yes.
The pressure's off, because whoever wrote that that's following you on Instagram already is trying hard enough that they're worried about that. That means
I was about to say, you are a good mom. 50%. That's right.
Right.
You're worried about this. That's right.
Yes.
We kind of talked about this, but maybe anything else comes to your mind. How do you remain calm during meltdowns where you can't walk away for a minute, like in public?
I mean, I think I would stand there and make sure you're practicing breathing in that moment. And if you have to get a watch or you have to pull out an app that causes you to focus on it, I think that can be really great. And also, I think getting down on a child's level is always really helpful. And don't be afraid to handle it in public, because if your child's melting down in public, any other grown up in the room is going to respect you. And if they don't, then you don't care what they think anyway.
That's exactly right.
To get down and say, tell me more about what's going on and let's talk through this. Or I want you to take three deep breaths. And if that's hard for you to do, then we're going to head on out to the car or whatever you need to do. I mean, it can be just being empathetic, or it can be putting boundaries around it. But I think anytime we can get down on their level, we're co-regulating with them as we're teaching them to regulate themselves.
Yes. Oh, I feel that. The grocery store meltdowns. Oof. It's okay. But there's a lot going on in that space too, that they're probably what? You know?
Yes.
And whoever came up with like the thunderstorm watering produce, awful idea. I hate them. Anyways, moving on. I'm like, that just is so oversimplified.
Why is that a thing? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Best way to help a 2-year-old with fear, not sure if it's a season, development, or just a part of their personality.
Well, I would say if they're the oldest, it may be a part of their personality and how they're growing up. Not what you're doing necessarily. I just think most oldest kids now are going to struggle with a little bit of worry and anxiety. I think that idea of teaching them to breathe, teaching them to stop and take three deep breaths. And then I would start to have some mantras at your house, like, you're so brave, or you can do hard things, or
so good.
I believe in you so much, that we just start saying that over and over. And even with a 2-year-old, I think doing things like, or, you know, little superhero pose or whatever it is, that they can start practicing and feeling brave, even when that's not what's required of them, I think can be really good.
And modeling. So good.
I felt worried today when X happened and I went ahead and did it anyway. And it was okay. You know, hearing us talk about it too.
You know, it's so funny. I'm hearing all this and I'm like, well, duh. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, no offense, but it's not rocket science.
No,
but at the same time,
totally.
Why does this feel so complicated? Like, why is it so easy for us to get stuck there? And it takes listening to a podcast, reading a book or whatever, or just spending alone time with God to realize, oh, duh, I can do this, you know?
Yes.
And I hope that's what people hear, is like, nothing that Sissy has asked of us today is anything that's going to take any more effort or requirement than what we are already doing. It's just pivoting what we're doing just a little bit. And also just freedom for friends listening, like permission granted that this is not something that you have to start implementing right now after you listen to the episode. This is like small minor habits that get formed throughout your day. And even if you get pinged with one thing that you didn't have before, will you push play today? So like also pressure's off to like do all the things. Cause that's a part of this too, is like perfectionism. No such thing as a perfect parent. All of our kids are going to be sitting on a couch or need to sit on a couch one day. That's just it, right? I had amazing parents. I'm still paying for therapy. That's just how it works. So pressure is off. I do want to play you this one thing. It's from my friend Greer. Okay. This is kind of like going to hype you up. I hope it hypes you up.
Okay.
But I asked her if I can play it And she goes, LOL, sure. So Greer, I'm sorry. It was so fun.
Okay. I went to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast thing on Monday, and I'm reading Sissy's new book. And I think it just has really made me feel a lot more normal than I had been. Anyways, I don't have any questions. I just am obsessed with them. Or not, well, you know what I mean. They're just very helpful people and really normalized a lot of my hardships as a parent, but then also given me a lot of tools, and I'm just really grateful. So I'm excited that you get to talk to her.
I just need you to know.
Tell Greer, thank you.
That you are normalizing a lot of the hardships. And I think that that's it. It's just for women listening, please know there are thousands of women that clicked play on this episode because they saw the title and thought the same thing. And this is not, you are not like one in a million, the only person struggling. That's why Sissy wrote a book for, you know, tens of thousands of people to read. Like, it's needed. It's necessary. You're not alone. Congrats for showing up and doing the hard work and listening to the things today. You got this. I feel like that's what our friends need to hear.
Yeah, yes, you got this.
Okay, one last fun question for you.
Okay.
Okay. What is something you're loving that you have to share with friends listening that they just, they need to know about it? It doesn't have to be anything particular. First thing comes to mind.
Well, first thing that comes to mind right now, which feels kind of unfair because I think probably most of the world has already experienced this and I'm a little behind. I'm finishing Ted Lasso right now. So I'm in the last three episodes. I know. And I'm so sad. I can't figure out how to slow it down. But that's something that is definitely bringing me some joy right now. Good old Ted.
He's the best.
He's the best.
Yes. I'm like, I like you as a human. I want to be like that. He just thinks the best about people and he's in like the weirdest environment and just can still be him. And he admits, like, I don't know all of it, but I know what I do know. Here's what I have to offer.
Yes.
Great guy. My husband said, he's like, Ted Lasso is the quintessential young life leader. Like, that is it.
Oh,
like,
wow. That's
perfect.
So true.
Yes. You just watch it in those lens. It's so funny to watch if you were a young life leader in college. But that's a good one. I like a good show recommendation. So anyone that needed to hear that, cue it up. Ted Lasso.
Yep.
Yes. Sissy, thank you so much.
Rachel, thank you. You're delightful. It's so fun to get to talk with you.
I know, so fun. Hey, will you tell people where they can find more about you, Raising Boys and Girls, Daystar, your book, all the things?
RaisingBoysAndGirls.com is the hub of all the things, the podcast, the books. You could get to Daystar from there. And then I try to be really active on Instagram at Sissy Goff and Raising Boys and Girls, just putting out, you know, we're just trying to help parents as much as we can there.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. We will link all this in our show notes in the description below. But again,
thank you.
Grateful you said yes. Thankful for you just being on, spending some time with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast.